weeks we've been talking about holding on. Holding on in hope, holding on patiently, and today I'm going to talk to you about holding on in peace. It's been a long time since we've had a thunderstorm in central Indiana. I mean, probably 2 months, maybe almost. So I want to start out by asking a question. How many of you wake up in the middle of the night during a really bad thunderstorm? I mean, I'm talking about the kind that's low and it makes your house shake. How many of you wake up in the middle of the night during a really bad thunderstorm? So the rest of you sleep through it, or you're on some kind of drugs to keep you asleep through it. Okay, so here's the question. If you wake up in the middle of the night during a really bad thunderstorm, how many of you turn over and go right back to sleep? All right. How many of you get up and go turn on the TV to check the news? Nobody's going to raise their hand to admit that, are they? How many of you stay up the rest of the night worrying about the storm? Nobody's going to answer that either. Jenny's mom and sister, when there would be a storm coming through, and especially if there was any kind of tornado warning, they really didn't have a place in their house to go to, so they would go in the little hallway, which is like a 4-foot hallway between the two bedrooms, and the bathroom was right there, and they'd get some cushions from off the couch, and they would sit there until everything passed, and that was probably a wise thing for them to do. Well, we haven't had any thunderstorms here in Indiana lately, but we have seen thousands and thousands of people who've been affected by hurricanes and flooding and lost their homes. We've seen thousands of people suffering the effects of wildfires in the West Coast and California and Oregon and up into Washington State. There's a lot of people in our country that are going through economic storms. There's people, some in our own church family, who are going through storms of illness and struggles with that. There are people who are going through storms of loss and grief, most recently Carol, but other families as well have gone through that. There are some of you maybe, or you know people in your family, that are going through storms of conflict, and we could go on and on. I want you to think for a minute, are there any storms that you are facing today? And you don't have to tell anybody, you don't have to answer me, but just think in your mind, are there any storms that you are facing today? The fact of the matter is, in all of our lives, at various points in time, there we find ourselves in the middle of a storm in our lives. Maybe things are in turmoil, they're up in the air, perhaps they're chaotic. And the question is, can we remain calm and be at peace in those storms of life? And if so, how? Can our minds rest knowing that God is in control? Can we hold on in peace? Now, the Apostle Paul wrote to the early church in a number of different places in his world. And in some of those writings, he talked about the life changes that come when a person comes to faith in Christ and in our relationship in Christ. And he writes a lot about what it means that our faith in Christ leads us to a new life. And one of the things that Paul wrote about was the fact that out of our relationship with Jesus Christ comes peace. Peace with God our Father, peace with others relationally, but also an inner peace in the face of adversity and fear. We don't have to live in fear about our future, whether that is our future days here on earth or our future after death. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app, you could turn with me to the book of Colossians, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses in Colossians chapter 3. And I hope that these are familiar verses. Studied through Colossians before in the past, and these particular verses in 12 through 15 primarily in context have to do with our relationship with other people. And so when Paul is talking about peace here at the end of this, the specific context is with in regards to relationships, but I think the principle of the peace of Christ ruling our hearts applies to all the areas of our life. So this is what Paul says beginning in humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And then these are the words in particular I want us to think about this morning. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Our relationships should be ruled by Christ. And it's interesting when you look at that word, ruled. One of the paraphrases of that I think was really interesting. It says, let the peace of God be the decider of all things within your heart. Let the peace of God be the decider or the rule of all things in your heart. And that word rule that's used in the Greek language in the New Testament is the word, our word for umpire. It's where we get our word from, for the umpire. And so literally you could say, let the peace of Christ be the umpire of your heart. So when you have all these things pulling in different directions in your heart, whether it's conflicts with other people or stress or worry or fear, just let the peace of God, let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your heart to rule your heart. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 that the mind that is governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Now I think there's three aspects, but I'm going to look mainly at the third one. There's three aspects to this peace of Christ that rules in our heart. There's personal peace with God. There is relational peace with other people, which is primarily what Paul is writing about here. But there's also what I would call experiential peace within ourselves, what we would talk about as peace of mind or peace of heart. Now, in talking about personal peace with God, there's a verse that I love, a couple of verses in Romans chapter 5, and I'll read those for you. It's just verses 1 and 2, and you're probably familiar with these. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, and that means being made right with God or put in right standing with God, since we have been justified, that has the idea of being pardoned and forgiving and being made in right standing. Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if Christ's peace is ruling in our hearts, one of the things that's important for us is to realize that because we've been made right with God, we have peace with God. We're no longer alienated from God. We're no longer strangers, but we are His children. The second thing that Paul talks about is relational peace with other people. And Scripture talks about this. So if we're, but let me say before that, if we're not at peace with God, through faith in Jesus Christ, it should be no surprise if we do not have peace about what's going on around us. If we're not at peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, we shouldn't be surprised that we don't have peace when things come up in our lives. But Paul talked in this context that we read in Colossians and in other places about the fact that being made right with God and being at peace with God, Christ's peace rules in our hearts and in our lives, and we have peace with one another. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 14, it says, as members of one body, we are called to peace. And speaking about Jesus, it says, for he himself is our peace, and has made the two one, talking about people that once were divided, has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So Paul talked about the fact that when Christ's peace rules in our hearts, it affects our relationship, and God desires to tear down those walls. And in the case that Paul was talking about in Ephesians, it was between the Jewish people and all the rest of the people who were classified as Gentiles. And so we have relational peace with others. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. So we have personal peace with God through Christ, and we have relational peace with others when Christ's peace is ruling in our hearts. But I believe also that we have experiential peace within ourselves. And that means that we can experience the peace of God, we can experience peace in our mind, we can experience a calmness in our spirit, in our heart, in the midst of turmoil and in the midst of life's worst storms. Now, probably most of you can remember a story about someone who slept through a storm. Anyone remember that story?
Jesus.
Who? Someone just shout out, who slept through a storm?
Jesus.
Jesus did. Okay, the story is recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And this is another one of those, this is probably a classic Sunday school story that kids learn when they're growing up, but it's a story that we never outgrow. And so all of Mark chapter 4 is talking about Jesus. The beginning of it is sort of a setting like this, except that the tables are turned. All the people are gathered along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is in a boat out on the sea, or out on the lake. So if you can imagine for a minute, if you want to put yourself in the context, right now you are sitting along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and imagine that I'm standing in a boat out in the lake. That would be kind of an awesome, I've always thought that'd be a great setting for a church. Pastor can preach from a boat in the lake and everybody can sit around on the shore. But that's the context here, is that all this whole day Jesus had been out on a boat. He'd been teaching people. The earlier parts of Matthew chapter 4 tell some of the parables and the teaching. And then we get to verse 35, and it says, that day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, that's the back of the boat. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him, and this isn't just they tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, maybe you should check out what's happening around. This was like a frantic, you know, they're shaking him up, they're waking him up, and they said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I love that story. One of the things I've thought of as I've read that story different times is, why was Jesus sleeping? And maybe you've thought that when you've read this story. I mean, here's this Christ. I mean, half of these disciples are seasoned fishermen. I mean, they were really familiar with that lake, which was a large enough lake that they called it a sea. They were familiar with that. They knew that these storms came in from time to time. But why was Jesus sleeping? I mean, it had to be a pretty bad storm for the disciples to be panicked. Why was he sleeping? How could Jesus sleep through the storm? And I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, there could be several reasons. I think all three of these reasons I'm going to give you are not good reasons, but we might speculate in our mind this way. We might say, well, maybe Jesus just wasn't aware of the storm. He was so tired from a day of speaking, he was worn out. I mean, he's comfy on the cushion in the back of the boat, and he's asleep, and he's just not aware of what was happening. And I wonder sometimes if in our lives, when the storms come and we're going through difficult times, I wonder if we aren't prone to think, now, does God really know what's going on in my life? Just like Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat, does God know what's going on in my life right now? Maybe Jesus just wasn't aware. Well, I would suggest we rule that out. Well, maybe, you know, Jesus didn't care. Maybe he just didn't care. These disciples should be able to handle their own problem. They've been out on the boat before. They know how to sail this thing. You know, why are they bothering me? And I think sometimes when we go through trials, Do you ever find yourself asking the question, does God care about my situation? Does God care about what's going on? Or maybe Jesus was in despair. Maybe, you know, he's just thinking, hey, there's no hope here. There's nothing I can do about this. And so he just slept. And I thought, wow, that is an interesting thought, because how many times does taking a really long nap or taking a couple Tylenol PM and going to bed early and just sleep it off and sleep through so I don't even have to think about what's going on? How prone are we sometimes when we're in despair to think that there's no hope, and so let's just check out, let's just give in, let's just go to bed and stay there? And so we might ask a question in this whole story, can God do anything about my problems? You know, the disciples, does Jesus really know what's going on right now? Does he care about my situation? Can he do anything about my problems? I think there's a reason Jesus slept through this storm. And I think it's because he was at perfect peace. And he knew that God ultimately had control, and that God's power within him could calm the storm. And I think Jesus is a perfect example of someone who was at peace in the midst of the storm. I believe he slept through the storm because he wanted his disciples to come to a place of faith and trust where they too could experience peace in the storm. Now, there is no doubt in my mind that Jesus was using this as an opportunity to teach a lesson to his disciples, to show them that he is in control even in the worst things that happen in life. He slept through the storm because he wanted his disciples to have that same peace, to come to that same place of trust where they could experience peace in the storm. And so I want to encourage you today to take heart. God is aware of whatever is going on in your life. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what pain you may have. He knows what fears you may have. God is aware of what is going on in your life. And you might think for a moment that God is absent, or you might feel like right now Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat and you want to shake him and wake him up. The amazing thing about that story is that the disciples were afraid of the storm, but they were awestruck and in fear of Jesus when he stood up and spoke the words and calmed the storm, because they realized that he was more than just a teacher. He was more than just a rabbi. They realized that there was something about him, that he truly was the Son of God. And I think that God uses opportunities, and he uses the struggles in our lives as opportunities for us to learn to trust him, to be in awe of him, to worship him, and to see that he is present in the midst of everything that's happening in our lives. God is aware. Whatever you're facing today, or you may have family members or friends or coworkers who are going through some real struggles, whatever they might be, God's aware of what's going on in your life. And I would suggest to you that he does care about the storms and the turmoils that you find yourself in. You see, Jesus was aware of what was going on, and he did care about his disciples, and he wasn't in despair or hopeless. Everything was in his hands. So know today that God cares about the storms and the turmoil that you find yourself in. There is hope, and always we see, if we're willing to open our eyes and see it, we see that God will bring good even out of the worst situations. And he's with us, and he will give us peace in the midst of the storm. Near the end of Jesus' human life, in his last long conversation that he had with his disciples, in John chapter 16, he said this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Now, in this conversation, he's told them a lot of things, and in particular, he's told them that he's going to be arrested, he's going to suffer, he's going to be tried, he's going to be crucified, and In the midst of all of that, he's saying, I've told you all these things so that you may have peace. And part of what he told them was that he would send them the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would be the comforter to come alongside them. And Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome. Story in Exodus 33 where, you know, Moses has just dealt with the children of Israel building the golden calf. He doesn't know where they're going to go going forward from this, and he has this personal encounter with God, and Moses basically, you know, is saying, I don't want to go any further if you don't go with me. And in Exodus 33 verse 14, this is how God replied. It says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Whatever we're facing, wherever we're going, whatever the challenges are, we can hold on to the promises of God. And I think we can hold on to that as a promise for us, that His presence will go with us, that He will give us rest. In the book of Joshua, when Joshua led the people into the promised land, and when they faced all of the challenges and the battles that they had, constant conflict, but there was war for a period of time. It said at the end of that, this is in Joshua 11:23, and I'll email these scriptures to you tomorrow morning so you can have the opportunity to go and read these for yourself. But Joshua 11:23 says, Joshua took the entire land just as the Lord directed Moses, and he gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal divisions. And then it says this, then the land had rest from war. And that another way we would say that is that the land had peace. And then I realized that over and over again that same expression was used. It was used in King David's time. It was used in King Hezekiah's time. That the idea was that Scripture speaks of how God gave His people rest from all their enemies that were around them. And so whether it's David or Hezekiah or whoever, it speaks of the fact that God gave His people rest, for the land had rest, the land had peace. And so if you think about that in the context of what it was historically and apply it to us today, God gives us rest from all those things, those enemies around us that would steal our peace. God gives us rest. Psalm 62 is one of my favorite psalms. In the first couple of verses in it, it says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. My soul finds rest in God. I will never be shaken. If you want to take two phrases with you into this week and to be an anchor for these trying times, take those two phrases, my soul finds rest, or my soul finds peace in God. I will never be shaken. In Isaiah 32, verse 18, the prophet Isaiah says, God is saying through the prophet Isaiah, my people, and he's talking about restoring them after the suffering, after their being deported to Babylon in their captivity. He says, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. And when you look at some of what's going on around us in our country today, and you look at the turmoil and the anger and the division and all of the stuff that just leaves us feeling like we're on edge, what a great promise to hold on to from Isaiah. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. In other words, we can live in peace. And then lastly, and I close with this, Jesus gives us this invitation. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus invites us to come. In these turbulent times, he invites us to hold on, patiently, to hold on, trusting that he is the one who gives us peace. And we can come to him, and he will give us rest, and he will give us peace. And we will find rest or peace for our souls. So going back to that first phrase that we read from Colossians chapter 3, my encouragement and challenge for you today is to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Hold on in the peace that God gives you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, there are so many people in our world who don't have peace because they're separated from you. And they not only don't have peace, but most don't have hope. And we know that you love the world so much that you sent Jesus to be the one who would bring us back to you, to put us in right relationship with you so that we might be at peace. So we pray for those in our own families, our sphere of influence, our neighbors, our friends. We pray for those around the world who desperately need that peace and who don't know you yet. And we pray that through your Spirit and through your church and through your people, that you will draw many people to yourself and they will come to know the peace that passes understanding. Lord, you know that there is a lot of conflict and turmoil in our country, and maybe in our own lives and relationships. There are strained relationships. There's conflict maybe at work or in the neighborhood or even in our families. I pray that you will help us to be peacemakers in those situations, but I pray that your peace will rule in the hearts and minds of your people, and that you would bring peace, restore peace in relationships. Lord, I pray that as we face personal trials or challenges, and maybe we're dealing with fears of what's happening around us or what our future looks like, maybe we have fears for our family, for our children, for our grandchildren, help us to realize that in the midst of those storms, and in the midst of adversity, in the midst of suffering, you offer us your peace. May we rest in you and find our peace in you. Go with us into this week. May we be people who are your ambassadors, your peacemakers. Help us to share the peace and the hope that we have in you with those around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.